We start off the passion with the Re'eva. The Moshe asked the Kaddish Baruch Hu, Tomer Osel, Amazel, Amazel, Shlachtani, Amoz, Bossi, Amparo, Eval, Amazel. Why did you send me if it's going to get worse? If I'm going to make things worse? Basically, his question was, it took me to take them out of Mitzrayim. My job is to take them out of Mitzrayim. Things were supposed to get worse before they got better, so they could have gotten worse without me, of course. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was the instrument which made the whole shibud worse, that hurt his shlichus, because he was a shliach to power, but he was also a shliach of Bnei Yisrael. So what was the job with Bnei Yisrael? His job with Bnei Yisrael was to give the Bnei Yisrael hope that they would get out, and fast the Emunah, the Tochen B'Hashem. These were people who for a long time hadn't had any contact with Hashem. They were worshipping idols. So to bring them to Emunah and B'Tochen, to bring them to believe in Hashem and to have confidence and trust in Hashem. So Moshe Shlichus was in order to see that his Shlichus was working. That's why he got three signs. Hashem gave him signs to show them that he's a real Shliach, that Hashem can do miracles. So for him to go and make things worse for them, to only make them have less belief in Moshe now that they see that this person came and they listened to him. And the Taka went with him to Pharaoh to leave Egypt. They had the Taka. They believed in the signs. And now that the whole thing was a failure, and not just a failure, but things got worse, so then all the Jewish people will say that Moshe Rabbeinu is an imposter. He's a phony. He said Hashem spoke to him. But it's not true. Look, it got worse. It's only natural that they should think like that. So it makes his shlichus. This was unnecessary. His shlichus is to take fill the moon and the tochen and Klai Yisrael, to take them out from Mitzrayim, get the power to release them. But the whole mission was such a catastrophe that it made the Jews have less faith, have less trust in Moshe Rabbeinu, and then who have less hope and belief that Hashem would ever save them. That was his kasha. Lama Havosa Lama Zeh Lama Zeh Shalachtan Mas Basi Oparo Heva Lama Zeh. It's going against the whole purpose of the shlichus. So they could have waited. If for some reason the Jews had to suffer more, good, so let them suffer without me. But I should go to be the shliach, that they should have faith in Hashem, and then they have to do things which will make them have less faith in Hashem. There is a kasha. So Hashem said that we all know what Hashem answers him. Hashem tells him that he would appear to the Avos with the Kel Shakai, and the Moshe is going to pitch me Hashem on the Daikilam, and then show them the Yud Rovke, and now you'll see the Yud Rovke. And then he says, oh, Zaisi, Zafi, Gabo, Kachti, Abel, Shon, Shalgula. But he doesn't, there's no clear, straight explanation to the Kasha. Why did he go in the first place and make things worse? There doesn't seem to be any answer here. Know that there's famous Rashi, Pashas Vayeshev. Rashi writes Yosef sent by Yaakov to find his brothers. Ashlechehu me'em Chevron. He was sent from the valley of Chevron. So Rashi comments in the Eitza or Amuka shel Osa Tzadik Kavu b'Chevron. Why is the Torah mention the valley? It was a very deep idea behind this whole thing, that Yosef would wind up in Mitzrayim and all the Jews would wind up in Egypt. This goes back to Avraham Avinu by the Brisbane Absarim. Hashem told Avraham many hundreds of years earlier that this would happen. Offspring will be strangers in a foreign land, will be slaves for 400 years. If this Medrash says that Avraham Avinu, that whole discussion there by the Bispin of Sodom, Avraham Avinu said to Shem, Bemer Eda, how will I know that all your promises will be kept? So really, Avraham Avinu was very concerned that the children, his offspring, will sin and they will not deserve to get the land like he was promised, because there's never a free pass. Even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give it to Avraham, but the children, the grandchildren, they have to continuously deserve it. What happens if the Jewish people will sin? So Hashem said to him, you're right, if they sin, I have to punish them. And one of the punishments could be they lose the land. I'll give you a choice. You tell me what punishment you want. You want they should lose the land of Israel. Maybe you want other punishments. I should make other punishments. Maybe you want I shouldn't punish them at all in this world. All the punishments should take place in Gehenom, in the next world, the afterlife. Hashem gave Avraham many options. So Avraham Avinu, he chose the option of losing the land of Israel. Instead of all the different punishments that you have to give to them if they sin, I don't want them to be punished in Gehenom. I don't want them to have other punishments. I want the basic punishment to be Golus of Eretz Yisrael. That's the basic punishment. Because Avraham Avinu chose that. And we see, and that was at the core of the Bris Ben Absarim. In the Bris Ben Absarim, Hashem tells him, we're going to get the land, and the children are going to be slaves for 400 years. So that is at the core of the bris which Avram made to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Is that the history of Klal Yisrael is going to be a history of Golus and Geula. We're going to go into the land and lose the land. Go into the land and lose the land. Go into the land, lose the land. That's going to be Jewish. It's a function of doing mitzvahs. Chatayim, do mitzvahs, Am Yisrael, you get the land. Do chatayim, basic punishment is Golus, you lose the land. This was the choice of Avraham Avinu. Could have chosen many different punishments. Chose this punishment. Rashi calls it Eitza Amuka Shel Osa Tzadik Hakavu B'Chevron. The deep, for this was very deep logic was why Avraham Avinu chose this. He could have chosen many different things. He chose this one. It was a very, very profound idea. Rashi says, Eitza Amuka, Ma'oset Tzadik, Havachevron, to pick Golus as the basic ownership of Christ. Basic ownership is Golus. Question is why? What's this? Why is this the basic choice? Why is this the best choice? Why is this a defining paradigm or syndrome or pattern of Jewish history? Galus school, going into the land, losing it. No other nation has this. No other nation gets the land, loses the land, gets the land, loses the land. There's no such a thing. So he says that the chat is like this. The pshat is, we see that when there's a galus, you have to look at Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the original galus, and then geula. We celebrate it every Pesach. It's the model for all future galus geula. It's the first one. It's the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu. So we see that from the geula of Mitzrayim, the process of galus and then geula, of going into Mitzrayim and then getting out of Mitzrayim, we see that there was an amazing amount of Lima Torah. When they were with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in Eretz Canaan, so okay, they had a certain amount of mitzvahs, of Torah, a small few things. And the Smila, besides the seven mitzvahs of B'nai Noach, had the Smila, the Rambam counts a few things, maybe some Takanas to Rabbanon that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov made. Maybe Yaakov had Gid Anoshe. So, a few things, but the whole Mitzrayim was heaven and earth opened up. You got to see Rosh Shivcha Layam. They saw and the redemption process from Mitzrayim, 10 plagues, 10 makos. They saw God showed Am Yisrael and the Egyptians and the whole world that He created the world, He controls the world, and He can destroy the world. Something which Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov themselves believed, but they never saw it like this. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov never saw water turn into blood. They never saw earth turn into frogs or lice. They never saw swarms of wild animals coming out of a jungle because someone waved a stick and said Hashem told them to come. All the great plagues of Mitzrayim they never saw. They believed it, but they didn't see it. But
even it says it. Huh? It even says it, and it describes it like it, that you're something that your ancestors never saw. I would share Lo Ra'u.
Right.
How about Yekam?
Right, they never see it. So, in other words, the Yesodos, the foundations, the fundamental truths of the Torah, were demonstrated. The fundamental truths of the Torah were demonstrated in the Geula from Mitzrayim in a way which had never been before. Basically, that's what Hashem tells Moshe here in this pasuk. He says, "Ve'eril Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov v'keil shaka shmi yud kei vav kei lo nudaiti lahem." So what it means of this. They saw Kel Shakai. They saw God in a limited way. It was a limited way. They heard God speak to them. They lived God's missions. They saw blessings from Hashem. Kel Shakai is the name of Hashem, which means He works through nature. In the everyday events, Kale is forces of nature. And Shakai are the laws of nature. Kale is power, and Shakai means die. It's the limits. So, forces of nature, you see forces in nature, laws of nature. So within the regular forces and laws of nature, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov perceive the hand of Hashem. It's like the Ramban calls it Nisim v'derech ha-teva. Within Teva, within the regular daily things, they saw Hashgacha, they felt God is with them, they heard him, and they saw the blessings of. But it was all Dai, all Shakai, all within the regular everyday. Shmi Hashem, they knew about Hashem, they understood that God was the creator, God was the controller, God is the source of life. They understood that, but they never lo no dati, the yudke bovke, the existence, that the whole existence of everything, hover, haya, hover, v'yeh, past, present, future, havaya, of existence, the lo no dati, they didn't really see it with their five senses. They didn't see it, they understood it, but they didn't see it. The Jews in Egypt, they saw it. Moshe brought it, they saw. They saw water turn into blood. They saw ground turn into life. They saw the wild animals of Africa run up into Egypt. They saw. And then you see the Red Sea split. They saw things which were fantastic. Beyond nature completely. They saw that nature itself is just a creation of Hashem. Nature itself, nothing but God's will. That's what the Jews saw. In other words, there was this Golus Mitzrayim and the Geula. This Golus Geula Mitzrayim, this created a whole new level of Yedias Hashem, of knowing of Hashem by people, by the Jews, by the Egyptians, the whole world. Until today, the whole world is convinced that there's a God, because of what happened in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. Everybody in the world knows about it. They all know about it. Everybody knows it. And the Kitzur, the Gula from Mitzrayim was a unique level of Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem. Creating sanctification of Hashem's name in people's awareness, people's eyes, Kiddush Hashem. And so it means like this, that The way the Golus Geula pattern, which Avraham Avinu chose among all the different options Hashem gave him for punishments for the children of Israel if they unfortunately sin, because it chose many different punishments, Gehenom, sicknesses, different things, chose Golus. The reason he chose Golus was because the Geula from Golus would cause such a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. The whole Golus was a way of creating Kiddush Hashem. That's why Avraham chose it. So he chose it because he said this is a way which will create such an incredible sanctification of Hashem's name. The Kachas Goyim, Kerev Goy, God will take one little nation, spread around, and pull them out, and do Nisim in the flows, and do miracles. The whole world will be astonished. The whole world will learn what Hashem is. He does an amazing Kiddush Hashem. So I want this to be, I want the punishment of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael's punishment should be a method to produce sanctification, awareness of Hashem in the world. Since there'll be Golus and then Geula, it'll produce Kiddush Hashem.
How do you see the answer of Hashem? In the words?
So far, we're only explaining the Eitzah Mukha of Abba. We didn't get the Eitzah Hashem and Moshe. This is the foundation. We will soon come to it. You have a pasuk. Hallelujah, Hashem, Kol Goy. Shabbachu, Kol Umim. Ki Gavu Aleinu Chazda. So it says, all the nations of the world praise Hashem because He had chesed through us. Shabbachu, Kol Umim, Ki Gavu Aleinu Chazda. So the Gemara Pesachim asks, why should the Goy praise Hashem if He did good things for the Jews? What do they care? So, now I have the Russian. How was Hashem called Goyim? Agvurais mefloris to Ovid Bahadai. Koshken a man, the Govalein Ruchasta. Goyim should praise Hashem for their miracles. We, for the kindness He does for us. That's the Russian of the Gemara. How is Hashem called Goyim? And the Flois, the Ovid Bahadai, for their miracles. Kikobel Aleinu Chazdo. And we should praise Hashem for His chesed. Very, very awkward thing. Doesn't seem to make sense how the Gemara is reading the Pasuk. So the Kedushas Levi says that you can't just read the Gemara very simply. They pay Hashem for their miracles, and we for our miracles. It doesn't seem to fit into the words of the pasuk. Shaku kol amim ki gavra aleinu chazdoi. That's mentioned here. It's Kedushas Levi Ben Pshat. The goyim pays Hashem for the miracles Hashem did with them. In other words, our miracles are their miracles. The goyim persecute the Jews and Gauls. Because of going to persecute the Jews and Gauls, eventually the Jewish people got Jewdom. So Hashem redeems us, and with tremendous miracles to go out of the Gauls, so the Goyim have a very big, they feel good. We caused Kiddush Hashem. Because we, the Romans, chase the Jews out of Israel and spread them all over the world. And then the Jewish people did tshuva, Hashem brings them back to Israel. So the Romans are very happy that they caused Kiddush Hashem. Talking about the Romans who know about Hashem. Brings down. Over here or some other place. Oh yeah. the Kedushas Levi, the Levi Mendichev said, this the Roth, he said, Paro, to do such Kiddush Hashem, he said, I would be Paro, I'd be dancing in the streets about how much Kiddush Hashem, I brought so much knowledge of Hashem to the world. Because of me, Mamish Power would be dancing day and night for all the great, wondrous lessons, service, awareness of Hashem that He produced in the world. Because of Him, there was a Yetzias Mitzrayim. So this lady says, I wish I would be Power. I'd be dancing in the streets the whole day and night that I was the cause of such a tremendous sanctification of Hashem's name.
Why would Paro himself want to have Hashem called Goyim? Why would they
themselves want to do that.
After they see the tremendous good which comes out of it, the tremendous geula, then they're happy that they were involved to bring it.
Because it doesn't seem like they see the
Mashiach. All the nations will see, wow, it was accomplished through this amazing galus. They'll be happy they had a part in it.
I was just wondering, it's not really related to something the Rebbe said before, that about the machos, about, but I think someone else before Klal Yisrael got their first, like, with the Pesach, or Pesach, so what they do really to, at that time, they're the lowest to low, what they do to be so close to those machos?
The Klal Yisrael. That's a different story in the Shem Shemot. It's a different piece. But he says that basically, every step of every marker has a certain amount of trust in Moshe. And that was restless. Even though they were Mamsashar and Tumma, they were Averos, took time for them to get out of it. But the Yitzhak Moshe came early. Okay. It says there's a famous God that I don't know who was the first one to say it, but it's a well-known God. I heard it from Rav also. The Gemara says that someone does tshuva ma'ava. Avei Rosov Nasim Sechuyas. The Gemara says, no, in Misach Yuma. The person that's Tuba Ma'ava, the sins turn into mitzvahs. So why is this? So what's the magic that an Aveira can turn into a mitzvah? The Gemara takes it very literally. That's why B'mokim Shabali Tshuva Omdim Afilistik Gwena Chalam, because Bali Tshuva have all the mitzvahs that they do, plus all the Averos become mitzvahs. So they have a tremendous amount of things. The more Averos he did, the bigger tzaddik he is, because they all turn into mitzvahs. It's amazing. Amazing. So, why? Teretz is, these Averos caused the mitzvahs. Why did he do the Tshuva? Because of all of these Averos. So it turns out that the Averos made him a tzaddik. He wouldn't have never been, he would never have, had he been doing mitzvahs all his life, he would never have such a tremendous commitment, a tremendous love, a tremendous enthusiasm for Torah mitzvahs. Of course he was a Baal Averos. Grew up with Averos, and finally he discovers Torah mitzvahs, so now he's a fire. So means all those Averos, they're the engine, they're the fuel for his tremendous Avos Hashem that he has today. But a guy who never did those Averos, he grew up from. So he's going along, you know, at 25 miles an hour. But this other fellow, he's skyrocketing at 100 miles an hour. It's a different thing. Yes.
And why the goyim should be to get a reward for all of it?
They come when the Gemara of the Zohar says they come. They want reward for all the community, including.
They don't say for the punishment. They say like we built the roads.
But they also want reward because they say we brought Klal Yisrael back to Tshuva.
The answer will be that it's only Tshuva Me'ava.
So, the thing is, so they have this concept. It's a Chassidish concept. That what looks like terrible evil is really, from another point of view, good. Naveira. Naveira is really, after it's done, it's good if it produces tshuva. Galus, which is bad when you look at it initially, is good if and when it produces a geula. It's called the concept in general of Yurida Tzorach Aliyah. It says in the pasuk, Sheva Yipol Tzadik Bekam. Tzadik falls down 7 times. So the Hasidim learned that pasuk is that he should fall down 7 times. He should have 7 failings in order that to come, he has the greatest possible heights later. Falling down is good. Look at baby. A baby, when a baby to learn how to walk. If you're always going to hold his hand, never let him fall down, his mamish is going to grow up to a handicap and won't know how to walk. Has to have someone hold his hand. You have to let go, let him walk a few steps and fall down. Pick him up, walk another few steps, let go, let him walk another few steps, fall down. Every time he falls down, he cries, it hurts. Pick him up and start again. Let him go on his own. Sheva Yipol Tzadik for come. If you let the baby fall, eventually he learns how to walk.
So Hasidus learns not to Tzadik?
No.
Sheva Yipol Tzadik for come.
Even Tzadik. But no, forget, to become a Tzadik, you have to tackle a fall. The more you fall, the bigger Tzadik you. I once had a very good friend, and this lady said, failure is should be called learning experience. You learn through failures. I want to tell you one thing about college. If you take courses, and every course you take, you always get 100 in every test, you're not learning anything. You never fail. Everything is easy. So what did you learn? Sometimes you get it. 70. You get a few tests, 70. And then by the end of the term, you get a 90. You're a regular student. That was a good course for you. You fail, and you learn, and you come to the top. That's a good course. So it was difficult. You had failures. That's the best. A course where you get 100, it's not challenging, but you're not growing from that. It's not, you're taking it easy. You have to be in a course with its failure. It's a challenge. Then you know you learned something. The baby falls down, that baby will learn how to walk. A baby that never falls down trying to walk will never learn how to walk. If a Klai Yisrael doesn't do chatayim, the Klai Yisrael will never be tzaddikim. You have to do the chatayim to become the tzaddikim. That's how we learn, otherwise. You have to take the risks that I'm trying to do a big mitzvah, and maybe I'll take a fail. It'll be an aveira, be a big aveira. But if I don't take the risk, how will I ever do the big mitzvah? I'll give you an example. Person's living very nicely in Muncie. Nice place, strong. Then his wife, children, start talking to him, Abba, we want to move to Eretz Yisrael. He says, what? Eretz Yisrael? It's risky. It's a big risk. I don't know if I can make a living there. Don't know what education is going to be. So, So two kinds of results of this discussion. Either he goes or he doesn't go. If he doesn't go, he'll be safe in Muncie. Very nice. There'll be a certain plateau. But if he goes, he could not fail. But if he succeeds, he has gula. He's an Eretz Yisrael. His children, his grandchildren are right there with Mashiach. I give you an example. What are you gain being with Eretz Yisrael? You take the same child, the age of, let's say, 10 years old. He grows up in America, is 10 years old. So, 10 years old in America, they're learning Chumash Shmos. They finish Bereishis and Chumash Shmos. And that's as well, 10 years old, making a siyum on all the five Chumashim. He finishes all five Chumashim by 10. In America, by mitzvah, he learned, let's say, two things, sechtas, mishnais. And maybe he learned 10 black gemara. In Israel, 13, he went through all of Shas mishnais, all of Shas. And he learned 100 black gemara. Same kid, but one who took the risk of failure. He achieves a much bigger mitzvah. So, Shavu Yipo Tzadik become, the Hasidus says, don't be afraid of failure. Yirida Sela Chaliyah. You have to take the risk. You go higher.
You spoke about this in the Vayim and the Yeshivas.
I don't remember what you said. You spoke about it?
Not yet. But in terms of
a panasa, I mean going for
putting yourself into the Messiah.
Mean to be conservative or risky with the shyness, right? Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's the other example. It's a good example, too. Yeshivas, let's say, they used to be against college. This is very danger. You go to college, you can be exposed to, or you are exposed to the Geisha thinking. Maybe some people will become not religious. It's a very big risk. And why you say no? We take the risk because the accomplishment is Kiddush Hashem. Accomplished. Lawyers, doctors for Shomer Shabbos. The Kiddush Hashem instead of. I don't know what they do in the other places. They sell lingerie in the store, or they sell swelling. A lot of boys I know from yeshivas, they don't have what to do. They sell books in the Mishnah's from poor places. So it's a problem. So if we don't take the risk, we're not going to be able to achieve that kind of Kiddush Hashem. There's many examples. You have to decide your own lives as you go through your life. And maybe what he's called life choices. You have to make a decision. How much risk versus how much gain? How much potential Yirida versus how much potential Aliyah? So that's what he's bringing out. Avraham Avinu, he wanted his children to go high. So he said, "We'll choose Golus. The Golus has an amazing for saving grace. And when the Golus becomes the Gula, the whole thing produces an amazing level of Kiddush Hashem, which was not there before. Before they ever sinned. The sinning and the Golus and the Gula is a whole thing which gets the world to a much higher level. Like the Mitzrayim going in and going out, Mamish produced the Torah. Change world forever. And we know that that's going to be by Mashiach also. When Mashiach will come, it's going to be a bigger change in the world than the world changed by Tzias Mitzrayim. Tzias Mitzrayim changed all of human history in the most fundamental and dramatic way. Without Tzias Mitzrayim, there would be no Torah. The world would be a world of barbarians. Right, here and there will be a tzaddik, could be a person who's righteous, figures things out, like Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, do some good deeds, but connection with Hashem, all it was only Torah. That came because of the Golus and the Gula. There'll be something even greater than that, the Mashiach. More than Matan Torah. More than the 10 miracles of the plagues of Egypt. Much more. It'll be so great that the Gemara in Bracha says, according to one man, we will stop even mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim. We won't even mention it. And the other one says, we'll mention it, but it'll be a secondary thing. It'll be mentioned, but it won't compare to what's going on by Mashiach. Because Golus, the Mitzrayim, we want Golus for a few hundred years. But the Golus of Edom before Mashiach, it's a Golus of a few thousand years, not a few hundred, a few thousand. Much, much longer Golus. And I have to say, a much more bitter Golus, the Golus of Edom. Mitzrayim, they did commit murder, they did kill Jews and babies, but they didn't do a Holocaust. Every single Jew, man, woman, and child was killed. The Holocaust was worse. So, the Geula will be much bigger. Much bigger. So, Shem Shmuel says that for tzaddikim who suffer in the Geulas, this idea that the Golus will come to a Geula, then it'll be an amazing Kiddush Hashem through the Golus, is something which makes Tzaddikim able to accept Golus. Makes it much easier for Tzaddikim. Says any Jew should think this thought, this idea, it helps you go through the Golus. Like somebody says, works hard for 6 days and then he has a Shabbos. So when he's working hard 6 days, what's he thinking? All of this work will get me to Shabbos. That's why I'm working so hard, because I can get to a Shabbos this way. So that justifies the Shabbos justifies the troubles and the suffering of the 6 days. Without the 6 days, you wouldn't get to a Shabbos. Misha Torah, Gemara says, Misha Torah, for Erev Shabbos, Yochal B'Shabbos. For Tirchei, you have the troubles of Erev Shabbos, then you'll eat on Shabbos. If you don't cook for Shabbos, you don't clean for Shabbos, and you don't go to the mikveh for Shabbos, so then what's your Shabbos? No food, not clean, no mikveh. You do everything Erev Shabbos, you have a Shabbos. It's the same thing. If we go through a Golus and we suffer Sheva Yipol Tzadik for 7 times, then you're Zocha for the Gula Shalema. So that's why Amin chose Golus, because he liked the Kiddush Hashem which comes out. So therefore, like this, Paro, now we'll get to Moshe and Paro. Why did Moshe's first mission not only not succeed, but it made everything worse. What was the point in sending him to make things worse? Hashem could have made it worse another way. He didn't have to make Moshe Rabbeinu the instrument for making things worse. And that made Moshe's mission subsequently much, much harder, because now the Jews had no more trust in Moshe. The part of the mission was that they should learn how to trust him, believe in him, and believe in Hashem. And this was Dafka going the other way. So why? What's the point? So Teretz says, power had to refuse. Power had to refuse, because the refusal of Paro and then the subsequent conquest and forcing Paro to give in would make a bigger Kiddush Hashem. If it's so difficult to get out, then when God gets them out, people really appreciate it. People understand it's an amazingly great accomplishment. Think about it in the contemporary situation. If there would be in the whole world 1,000 Arabs, the whole world would be 1,000 Arabs, and they hate the Jews. And the Jews are, let's say, 10 million Jews. And 10 million Jews make a country, and they able to defeat 1,000 Arabs. That wouldn't be such a big thing. 1 million people defeated 1,000 people, it's not a big deal. When you have 250 million Arabs, when you have 1 billion Muslims, when you have besides the 1 billion Muslims, you have another billion Africans, another billion Russians, East Europeans, and all these billions and billions of people want to obliterate the state of Israel, which are only 10 million Jews in the world. And those 10 million Jews in the world, with Hashem himself able to keep a country for the state of Israel, against 3 billion. And there may be today about 100 million suicide bombers ready to, that's for sure. So that's a very big Kiddush Hashem. That's an amazing Kiddush Hashem. So the fact that you have so, so many enemies, tremendous amount of enemies, turns out to be a blessing. Because it makes the fact that Hashem does save us, and he does, an amazing demonstration of his power. Hashem's power. I tell you the truth, the last year I'm overwhelmed by Hashem's love for the Jewish people at this particular point, because every single day of the year for the last year I've noticed that in Iraq the suicide bombs, they kill every day 30, 50, 100, 200 every day. And they're killing Americans. That's, I think 3,000 Americans were killed. And they're killing Iraqis. Same exact religious fanatics are all around by Israel. In Israel, next to Israel, all over. The number of Jews that they kill is minuscule, tiny. Compared to what's going on in Iraq, it doesn't even register on the radar screen. Iraq, I think in the past year, 50,000 people were killed in Iraq. Between the Iraqis and the Americans, at least 50,000 were killed. In Israel, how many were killed in the last? I don't think it even reaches 50. Maybe 10. Whole year. When in a week they lose more people in car accidents and this or that, they lost a whole year of terrorism. No, it doesn't count. Why is this so? It's the same exact enemy, the same jihad, Hamas, Hezbollah, jihad, all these different names, Al Qaeda, The same exact people. In Iraq, they have Hatzlocha, they're successful. They didn't conquer the country, but they're certainly wreaking havoc. The Republicans will probably lose the election because of this terrorism in Iraq. But in Israel, people don't think anything about this. People walk around in Israel. You think they're living in Mexico, Hawaii. Facts on the ground support that. Who? Where's the chilek? Who makes the whole chilek? You can't tell me the Israeli Shin Bet. We know that they're very inefficient. They're not good at all. The Israeli army, we know also that we know clearly that these people were basically incompetent, put it mildly. So how does it work? The answer is Yad Hashem. The Kiddush Hashem. Hashem is unbelievable. They throw thousands and thousands of missiles and 99% miss in Gaza by Israel, but in Iraq they hit, they make it. Yad Hashem is in Kamayu. Kiddush Hashem. Hashem does with Am Yisrael Mamish every day. Let's open our eyes. So that's why Paro had to say no in order that when Hashem makes a turn around the other way, it's a bigger Kiddush Hashem, it's more appreciated. The more Paro refuses, the more he's able to delay the inevitable, the more Hashem has to show his power, another matter, another matter, another matter. The more people learn the power of Hashem. Kiddush Hashem. Hashem Mishmuel says an amazing thing. He says he doesn't think that the number 10, that there were 10 matros, was really the ideal number. He thinks Hashem really wanted and should have forgiven hundreds of makos, thousands of makos, because just having 10, so you learn 10 lessons, but we have to learn thousands of lessons about Hashem as well, thousands of lessons of Kiddush Hashem. We learn 10. Yeah.
What do you say about the Agatha? I mean, Rabbi Akiva says that every makos is 5 in there.
That's good. This explains. Very good. This explains why Rebbe Akiva came up with this thing, which we have no reason to imagine that every Maka had 10 Makos, 40, 50. The time you finish counting, 10 turns into 250. So, why? Because really, you can't say there are only 10 lessons about Hashem. There are thousands of lessons. So why was it only 10? The reason it was only 10 because the Klal Yisrael was on the brink of exhaustion. They were basically wiped out. They couldn't take it anymore. God had to take them out then. If he would wait one more day, it would be too late. That's what all the Mefarshim say. He said, Mem Tashari Tuma. They had to leave then. Otherwise, it would be too late. So Hashem cut the show short. He gave a very, very abbreviated version of Makos. Makos is teaching lessons about Hashem, the world, Kiddush Hashem. Hashem said, okay, we do Kiddush Hashem, but it'll be a very abbreviated version because the Jews are ravished, exhausted. We've got to get them out. They need a rehabilitation. So therefore, he says, know that. That Paro was taken away from him, the Koach of Tshuva. Hashem didn't let him do Tshuva. Rambam writes that was his punishment. That he wanted to do Tshuva at some point, but it was too little. Hashem didn't let him. So why? He says, because like this, Tshuva is a natural thing. A person has a natural deep desire to do what's right, to do good things. But why do we do sins? Any person, not just Jews, have weaknesses, desires, so they take us away from our natural. But the natural is to do good things. Now Paro, but when Hashem is giving Makos, so all the bad temptations are not tempting anymore because you're getting Makos. He's stepping on the Jews, so Hashem is not stepping on him, but good. So now he wants to do what's right, to let the Jews go. Because why does he make the Jews slaves? Because he wants to have free workers. But he, to get keep these free workers, they can't work because hail is falling from the sky and locusts are eating up all the crops. So that's because he's keeping these workers, but they can't work anyway because the Makos are killing everything. So now he realizes, hey, really, why am I keeping these people slaves? They're free people. Why should I be bothering with them? They have a right to be free. Paro understands because he's also a human being. But once all of his interests are taken away by Hashem's Makos, so then of course he'll let them free. So the tshuva he wanted to do was a normal thing. It's normal for a person to do tshuva. If the negiyas of all the personal vested interests are removed, like by the Makos. So Hashem took it away, the power of tshuva. Hashem, yes?
Although for the first part, Makos,
when
Hashem said that.
Exactly. Very good. Good. That's why. So this is the first five and the last five. The first five Makos is the same thing. Power couldn't work. The water is blood. The ground is full of lice. I mean, the economy stopped. So why is he keeping the slaves? First five Makos Paro didn't give in. So Paro was a madman. He was crazy. He was literally crazy. He didn't behave like a normal human being. So Hashem said, after five Makos he wakes up, now he wants to behave like a normal human being. I'm not going to let him. The first five, he was crazy. Let him stay crazy. That'll be his punishment. Because he was Mishoneh. He was Mishoneh. He was crazy. So we'll make him stay Mishoneh. So he can't understand. It says in the Mefarshim, in the Gemara, Shechina medaberes mitachgur nishal Moshe. When Moshe was a kvad peh, he couldn't talk. So he tells the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do you tell me I can't talk? Hashem says, don't worry. Anoch eyem picha, I talk. You just open your mouth and make believe you're talking and my sound will come out. So HaKadosh Mishmuel says, when Moshe opened his mouth and told Paro, Shalach Hasami Biabduni, he wasn't talking, Hashem was talking to Paro. Because how can a human being hear a command from the Almighty Creator himself and not listen? Not listen. If you read the Nevi'im, Yivyo describes the experience of the Nevi'im, Shaya, the you hear the Va'al Hashem, your whole body, like the Jews by Sinai, by your new home, you start shaking. How can a person refuse his Creator's demand when he hears it? The Torah says, Power was crazy. He was simply crazy. He was nuts. He didn't listen to his own Bala Olam when he was talking to him. Hashem says, such a crazy person. He was crazy because he became so evil that the evil made him crazy. So that's why Hashem says, I'll take away from the Koach of Truth. He's not a normal human being. He's not a normal human being. We take it away.
Power represents the prime example of a Baal Gaiva, right?
Right. Koach of Gaiva. Koach of Gaiva. Is that a Baal Gaiva can say, I'm not listening to my own creator, my own. He hears Hashem and he says, I'm a Baal Gaiva, I'm not listening. It's an amazing thing, Koach. The Koach of Gaiva, that person can be a Koifer to a Kodesh Baruch himself. This was Bilam. This was Bilam. He also had a Hashem and he went against it, Mamish. Bilam. As you wrote in Ben Navot, the Gemara says, also, it was amazing, huge. Baal Ruach HaKodesh didn't listen to Hashem. Yes?
Right. And also, the major shepherd was like the main advisor of Paro.
It's good. It was the main advisor of Paro. Very good. Okay. So, Mela. So, how did this whole thing start? Because when Moshe came, the first mission, before any of the plagues, just he told Paro, not he, Hashem told Paro, send the people out through the mouth of Moshe. And Paro said, no, I'm making things worse. I'm going to make things worse. That was the main. So at that point, Paro was going against, directly against the voice of Hashem. And so that made Hashem say, okay, you're such a Baal Gaiva that you became mad and insane with Gaiva. He became insane with his vanity. His vanity made him literally deranged. And by the way, you see it's this way he talks about here, that vanity, Gaiva can create Shigaon. We see it in the politicians today. It's unbelievable. We're in Baruch Hashem, not politicians. So we see that this gaiva that they have, it literally produces insanity. There's no other way of explaining what these people are doing, especially, unfortunately, the Israeli politicians. Unfortunately. The best you can say is that they're insane. And that probably is from the gaiva, such gaiva. I can understand where the gaiva comes from, because to become president, the prime minister of Jews, gives you a lot of gaiva. I'm the top Jew in the world. That can go to your guy's head. I understand. But that can produce an insanity, you see. But that's what happens. So, that's what happened to Power. Power had such a gaiva, he became a shigur. And that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu said, okay, we'll go all the way. No tshuva, no changes. You will stay with your gaiva and your insanity till the bitter end. We'll keep you there till the bitter end. So that's why we understand what Hashem tells Moshe. Moshe says, why did you send me to make things worse? So Hashem said, because this will produce the biggest Kiddush Hashem. If Power would listen to you right away, the way he should have, like a normal person, he hears his creator's voice, he should have right away said, yes, I have to listen to God, God speaking to me. Then we wouldn't get the Tzias Mitzrayim of 10 Makos. And who knows if we'd ever get the Jewish people to the level to go to Sinai and get the Torah, because it would go boom, boom, so easy. But I said, no, you speaking with my voice. Atasu, now you'll see that's going to be Kibiyot Chazaka Yotziya Yigar Hashem. Now you'll see Kibiyot Chazaka of Hashem. You'll see the real Kiddush Hashem. This will cause Kiddush Hashem. That's why it had to be like that. That's why this explains why Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe there's nothing to be upset about. This is going to make the greater Kiddush Hashem, power's refusal. Power's making it worse. This is going to create the whole 10 Makos from A to Z. And that is going to produce the Yetzias Mitzrayim, which will define Jewish history for the rest of time. In fact, the power said, no, it made it worse at the beginning, instead of just giving in. You were given in, so it would be one episode in the road, but it wouldn't be the defining episode. The fact that he said no, to go to the 10 Makos makes this whole thing the defining event, the fundamental event of Jewish history. See us, that's right. Power saying no. Atosira. Now you'll see that it was Ve'eirel Avam Yitzchak Yaakov Bekel Shakai. The original till now was only a limited relationship. Shmi Hashem, the full relationship with all the Kiddush Hashem of Torah and the full magnificent revelation of Torah at Sinai is going to come now. Because power said no. Now we go all the way.
Just wondering that in regards to Moshe, when God first asked him to take the Jews out, I think that he initially refused to do so. So he heard the command of the Almighty God, and he refused, and he didn't do it either.
He did it because of anivus, because of his humbleness. That was the difference. Power did it because of gaivra, that's insanity. Moshe did it because of humbleness and modesty. That's reasonable. He felt he's so modest and humble, so that's a reasonable thing. He also lost, by the way. Chazal say he would have become the Kayan, but of course he said no, he became only a lady. He also lost something. But it was a reasonable position that he said wasn't insane. Because it's a position that Hashem will understand that the humble person doesn't want to take such a role. Yeshikach. Rabotai, we should be Zocha in the schus of these pashios, the pashios of Yetzias Mitzrayim, for Gula Shalema, the Mayor of the Main. Amen.
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 Thank you. Change our words.